عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الف لام م، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected Ulama Ikram, my brothers in Islam, and those listening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy, natural, perfect deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us Quran Kareem, the last kitab. We are the followers of the last Shariat. We are the followers of the last Nabi, having the last code of life. And we are very fortunate that Quran Kareem provides guidance for us constantly. At any given time, if a good scholar looks at Quran Kareem and Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find solutions, we find directives, we find instructions. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they were grieved to such an extent that some of them thought that just as Hazrat Musa alayhi salam went to the mountain and would return, they thought Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would return, until Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu salvaged the situation, reading Quran before the Sahaba, who immediately accepted that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. And Sahaba felt, and it is recorded, that when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu began to read Quran Kareem to them, they felt that Quran was being revealed now for that situation to solve it. Respected elders, tonight I would like you to go and look at Surah Baqarah, verse 84-85. Surah Baqarah, verse 84-85. Let me explain to you, so that when you read it tonight, you know what you read. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarramah. And in Madinatul Munawwara, there were certain famous tribes amongst the Mushrikeen and amongst the Jews. Amongst the Mushrikeen, there were the Aus and the Khazraj. The Aus and the Khazraj. And they had been fighting for about 120 years. Fighting literally, killing each other, using their latest technology of that time to fight against each other. Bloodshed, murder, loot was rife. And living side by side with them were the Jewish tribes of Banu Qurayza and Banu Nazir. Banu Qurayza and Banu Nazir. And they had an agreement amongst themselves. The Jews had an agreement with the Mushrikeen concerning this ongoing war. Meanwhile, the Torah had given certain instructions. The Torah had stated that you should not fight and remove people from their home unjustly. You should not fight and remove people from their homes unjustly. Because that's an evil thing. And that is the whole fight in Palestine about. That the Muslims of Palestine have been taken away, their land has been taken away unjustly. Their own land has been taken away. Like how the oil of Iraq has been taken away unjustly at the moment by the imperialistic West, spearheaded by USA, sanctioned by UN, which is another puppet body of USA. And on the other hand, the Torah stated also that if certain Jews, and in certain cases where they are prisoners of war, you should pay a ransom and take them. You should pay a ransom and take them. So the Jews of Madinatul Munawwara, the Banu Qurayza, they sided with the Aus, the Mushrikeen. And the Banu Nadir, they sided with the Khazraj. So the Banu Qurayza, they sided with the Aus. And the Banu Nadir, they sided with the Khazraj. So when there was a fight, they were fighting with them. They were killing with them. Although the Torah told them, don't do this. Don't fight and don't take out the people unjustly. Because that's an evil character. That is an evil trait. That is an unjust trait. And when the war was over, when there was relapse, and there was now negotiations, obviously prisoners of war, they were there. Then the Jews, what they should do, they should put their money up front and buy their prisoners of war. They should put their money up front, their monetary transactions up front, and purchase via ransom their prisoners. This was their style. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, ayat 84-85, He mentions this. And He draws the scene. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asks the Jews that, do you believe in a part of a book? أَتُقْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ That do you believe in a part of a book? And takfurun, and do you reject part of a book? Respected elders, how we link it up to today's time? Very easy. For example, Iraq. You know more what happened there than me. You are exposed to the media more. Riding on the backs of Muslims, the kuffar had come to attack Iraq. Coming on the soil of Muslims, the kuffar attacked Iraq. Using the airspace of Muslims, attacked Iraq. Using Muslim land, attacked Iraq. I'm not discussing whether Saddam Hussein is good man or bad man. That's a different discussion. But innocent Muslims are dying. Prior to the war in Iraq, 1.5 million Muslims were dead. And prior to that, Halaku, when he attacked Iraq, Baghdad, he killed 200,000. But these people have killed 1.5 million before even entering into Iraq. So the Kuffar, the Allied forces or coalition forces headed by USA, headed by Bush and Blair and the Australians, they used our Muslim land, they used our Muslim airspace, they used our Muslim waters to bring their arms, their ammunition, riding on the backs of Muslims, and then came to slaughter the Muslims. And came to butcher the Muslims. And after attacking Iraq, what has become of Iraq? Exactly what has become of Afghanistan? Because they also, the kuffar, used Muslim land to have their headquarters, which they've got their headquarters there. From there, they launched attack into Afghanistan. Now what has happened in Iraq? Children are starving. Hospitals are bereft of medical facilities. There is no proper medicine available. Women have become widows. People, women are getting raped. This dacoity, looting going on. This state of anarchy, no rule is going on. Water that was available, water is not available. Sanitary that was available, sanitary is not available. Sanity even which was prevailing, sanity is not even prevailing now. Starvation is there. Food shortage is there. Diseases are spreading. And then what happens? The Muslim leaders get up. The sheikhs get up. And what they say, relief fund. Support Iraq. Aid the people of Iraq. Aid the children of Iraq. To give an emotional speech about a place is very easy. Then they get up and one sheikh, he comes up and says, 10 million riyals for the people of Iraq. Another one says, 5 million riyals for the people of Iraq. Another one says, 20 million riyals for the people of Iraq. 35 million within few minutes. And each one comes onto television. Each one comes onto special broadcast on television saying how humanitarian they are, giving money to Iraq. Exactly what the Jews were doing. This double standards. They're not supposed to go for that war, but they went into that war. But when they have prisoners of war, then they want to buy them. Then they want to salvage them. Our state is same. Our situation is the same. That we're not supposed to be helping the kuffar to help them to attack Muslims. Then why don't we quote those ayahs? And those shuyukh quote those ayahs. Ta'amanu ala al-birri wa taqwa. Oh, help unto goodness and taqwa. What happened to wala ta'amanu ala al-ismi wa al-udwan? When it suits us, wala ta'amanu ala al-ismi wa al-udwan, don't abstain from, refrain from helping iniquity and sin, immodesty and immorality. When we feel like we quote an ayat to help us, when we feel like we do not quote an ayat and leave it aside. We have got these double standards. That's why this double punishment of Allah is coming onto the Muslims. When our leaders, respected elders, our leaders are having these double standards and they are corrupt and they have become the puppets of the West, then we expect bigger troubles. And in the light of the hadith, after Iraq is Syria, after Syria is Egypt. That is the system explained in the hadith. And you can see from now, they're already focusing on Syria. Respected elders. Why? Because addressing myself first, you second, that we are not becoming true Muslims. How Quran wants us to become true Muslims, we are not becoming that Muslim. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, enter into the deen of Islam. Enter into submission to Allah. Enter into subjugation to Allah. Enter into obedience of Allah. I've translated the word silm. Enter into Islam. Believe in Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he has brought. Enter into this deen, kaffa. Those conversant with Arabic will know that this means in totality, not half-half, not partial. Like you and I become fold-up Muslims. When we come in the masjid, then you fold your pants. And we go outside, you unfold your pants. Then we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend. No help of Allah is coming. Remember that. And then what do you do? We are imitating this kuffar and we are licking this kuffar and we want the help of Allah to descend on us. We eat like them, we talk like them, we sleep like them, we think like them, and we want the help of Allah to come. Help of Allah is not coming, I'm telling you. I can write it for you. It's not coming. Help of Allah will come when we adhere to the commands of Allah. When we practice on the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we're eating like the kafirs. We're eating with the weapons. We're eating with weapons of mass destruction. Fork and knife, what are these? Weapons of mass destruction. Destroying the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Destroying the pattern of life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Best of Anbiya ate with his hands and you want to eat with the fork and knife and you want the help of Allah to come. Help of Allah is not coming. And weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, respected elders, they're still looking for it. And what has the Muslim world done about this? Has any Muslim leader up to date told the Americans, Bush and Blair, you attacked Iraq, you stood on our shoulders and attacked Iraq, where are the mass, where are the weapons of mass destruction? Which Muslim leader has stood up and told those people? Because every Muslim leader is looking at protecting his seat, which is not stable. Respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand these. And see what they are doing at the moment in England. They have now put a new bill, put it in parliament, that the Muslims cannot slaughter, and the Jews also cannot slaughter as per kosher. And they are saying that the Muslims' method of slaughter is barbaric in nature. Therefore, you will not get halal meat in England unless the Muslims take a stand. Are they no abattoirs in England? Perhaps the Shuyuk should wake up and put some abattoirs in England so that we can have halal meat. But why? They are going to make such a scene about this halal haram issue in England that you are going to forget about Iraq and Syria and Egypt and all the other countries where these people are going in there and massacring our Muslims. But what you and I can do? Immediately you and I can cause a revolution. What type of a revolution? You and I must firmly resolve that I am becoming a good Muslim. I am going to practice the deen individually, even if my locality is not practicing the deen. I will fill the masajid up. I will come to the masjid. I will make my salah. I will look like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders, let us be realistic about this. Everyone regards Osama as hero. Everyone regards Mullah Umar as hero. But you saw yourself in the mirror. How you look? We look like Bush and we look like Blair and we say, I want to follow Osama and Mullah. Help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't come like that. Understand one thing. There are two words which we are using. One is anti-American. And secondly, pro-Islam. There are two things. One is anti-American. And secondly, pro-Islam. What has happened to us? We are being fooled at the moment. Everyone is anti-American. I assure you, if I get you to speak here, you'll be able to speak better than me about against America than anybody else. You'll do a fine job. You'll be able to criticize America till the sunset. You'll be able to speak ill about America and American regime and British regime for a long time with so much facts and evidence, it's unreal. That is why we are shouting slogans, anti-American slogans. If you listen to our radio stations, irrespective of which radio station, we are lambasting America. We are blasting America. And we are blasting Britain. If you call for a march, everybody is ready, anti-American. And those people who go for the marches too, very strange of them. They'll wear American clothing and to march against America. You think these Americans are fools, they've been laughing at us. You don't look like Muslims that you have to march against them. Second thing is pro-Islam. Pro-Islam, respected elders, is what we should be doing. Living like Muslims, eating like Muslims, praying like Muslims, making charity like Muslims, thinking like Muslims. Thinking like Muslims we haven't even done. So we are getting confused. And when we find a person who's anti-American, you think he's a good Muslim. That is why when you have radio stations and a person speaking on the radio and he is lambasting the West and he's lambasting America, they say, what a person. Respected elders, if you see some of those people behind those mics speaking ill about America, you'll die out of a heart attack. they got more America on them than anything else. So respected elders, understand fully, in order for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come, we need to go back to true Islam. We need to go back to Islamic roots. We need to become practical. Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they did not pay lip service to Islam, they practiced Islam. That is why when the people came to know Sahaba coming, they retired and said, let Sahaba come. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was seated by his uncle, Abu Talib. And he told his uncle, who had helped him, who had protected him, who was his guardian, who was his well-wisher. He told his uncle, read, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Read, so that I can stand for you on the day of judgment. I can advocate for you on the day of judgment. Basically, he's telling him to become a Muslim, so that he can have a case to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Around him is Abu Jahl, first class rascal, and Umayyah bin Khalaf, also another rascal, telling him, don't do that, don't read Abu Talib, don't read the Kalima, don't forsake the way of our forefathers, don't forsake the way of our forefathers, don't leave the religion of our forefathers. Respected elders, it is stated in Bukhari, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went near his uncle and told him, read in my ears at least, so that I can testify for you and stand for you. Hidayat was not written for him. Guidance was not written for him. He died not a Muslim. And he died not on Islam. Respected elders, Abu Jahl, someone asked him, do you think Muhammad is on the right? Do you think Muhammad is on the right? He said, yes, he is on the right. One is Janna and one is Manna. One is to know and one is to accept. He said, I know he's on the right. But what is this? If we have become Muslims, our leadership goes. Our popularity goes. Our fame goes. Our position goes. Our status goes. Our control goes. Just what he said. So respected elders, leave all this. Pomp, glory, money, wealth, society, status. Leave all this. And a special appeal to the youth. You are the future Muslims. You are the future leaders of our society. Don't waste your time listening to music, womanizing. How embarrassing it is that when we are informed that the casino is closed during Ramzan time, they run on skeleton staff in Ramzan time. Casinos. They say, no, Muslims don't come here in casinos, Ramzan time. So we run on skeleton staff. And what is this? You walk around with hairstyles as if to say someone electrocuted you, your hair is all standing. This is a gel, I'm gel. You want help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend on that hairstyle. Respected elders, may Allah ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deen, not be fooled, and don't make lip service to this deen. Practice this deen. You understand? وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين